time we come to the house of God, we need to purpose in our heart that we're going to do everything that we can to get everything that we can from the Lord. Amen. And I came to lift my cup up tonight and to praise Him and to worship Him. So good to be in the house of God with you and have the privilege to be able to preach His gospel tonight. Amen. And I'd like to take just a moment and tell, by the way, thank you so much for the surprise birthday party that you had Sunday night. And for me, I appreciate that. And we love you tremendously. And we just enjoy being in church with you. Amen. You make us feel like a part of Bible Way, and we love you, and we appreciate that so much. Amen. If you would, take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Ruth, chapter number 1. Amen. The book of Ruth, chapter number 1 tonight. And I want to read the first 6 verses of Scripture. Preach to you a message tonight. And I pray that after the service tonight that we will understand more the importance of our church being more than just another church by the side of the road. That it's in the day and the hour that we're living in today, that there are so many churches, there's so many, just about every street corner you go to, you can find some flavor of a church somewhere. And in Jacksonville, Florida, where I'm from, and I would go visit my dad there, and we would ride down the road, and it seemed like that within every mile there were like 15 little storefront churches everywhere you went. It didn't matter what direction, what neighborhood you went to, they were everywhere. And I looked at my dad one day, and I said, "My Lord, Daddy," I said, "y'all ought to be having revival here in Jacksonville." And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Everywhere you go, there's a church. Every place you look, every closed down store, every house that's not being used for a resident, seem like there's a church sign out by it." But when you look at all that and you see, then there must be a problem when folks, they're still, I can take you to a Church of God today that next door to it is a bar. It's been there for the existence of that church. That bar is there. While they're inside preaching the gospel, their next door folks are getting drunk and doing what sinners do. Ought not to be that. That church ought to have enough of God in it that it put so much conviction that it closed that bar down. And I my desire is for our Pentecostal churches to be the church that God has called us to be, not just another church by the side of the road. In the book of Ruth, chapter number 1, verse number 1 said, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the name of his 2 sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her 2 sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." Father, again tonight, Lord, I'm so thankful for the privilege and the opportunity that we have tonight, Lord, together in this sanctuary. Lord, I stand before this congregation, stand before you, confess once again, Lord, that I have no preaching abilities within myself. Only if you'll anoint me and touch me, I pray, Lord, you bring every thought, every imagination into captivity. Fill our mind with your words, Lord. Anoint our ears, Father, that we might hear the preaching of the word in our heart, that we would receive it with gladness, Lord, that it would find a lodging place in our heart. Ask you, Father, tonight, stir our hearts, O God, to Meet us in these altars, Lord. Let the Holy Ghost of God speak to us, stir us. I pray tonight, God. I ask you, Lord, tonight that the refreshing power of the Holy Ghost of God would fill this sanctuary tonight. We'll give you praise, honor, and glory for it all. In Christ's lovely name we pray. And everyone said, amen. As I was talking at the beginning here when I first started about our Pentecostal churches, and I've become concerned as a Pentecostal preacher through the years of the condition of the churches, the church as a whole. When I say the church, I'm referring to the Pentecostal church. And the Pentecostal church, I believe, according to the Word of God, is the church that Christ is coming back for. The church that was birthed in the upper room on the day of Pentecost was a church that was birthed in fire, was birthed with the power and filling of the Holy Ghost of God. And I believe that was the birth of the New Testament church. I believe that was the birth of the bride of Christ there in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And I'm a Pentecostal, and I'm concerned about the condition of our Pentecostal churches as a whole. It seems like that the priority of God's presence has been lost somewhere in the activities of our churches. Our churches today they're like bakeries that are open by the side of the road, but they have no bread. They've replaced the priority of God's presence, the presence of God, with man-made strange fire and different things and programs, and they've replaced them with drama teams and worship teams, and all manner of foolishness has taken place in our Pentecostal churches. I was born, I was raised in Pentecost all my life, and I just turned 50 this past Monday, and I've seen a lot of things take place. And I can tell you from experience that the Pentecostal church as a whole is not the church that she used to be. Sometimes I wonder if the church just isn't concerned, that they just like the chit-chat that goes around as we stand around what we'd classify as cold ovens and empty shells. I wonder sometimes, am I going to different churches, that if they even know if Christ is there or He's not there, and if He is there, what's He doing? Because when Jesus comes, He doesn't come by accident. Comes for a reason, and He comes for a purpose. And I wonder, as the Pentecostal church as a whole, if they know, amen, if Jesus is there in their midst, and if He is, what's He doing? What's Christ doing? Who is He touching? What's His mission? What is He doing? Why He's there? Sometimes I think the church is just preoccupied with the sweeping out imaginary crumbs from bakeries with no bread. I'm going to preach to you tonight on the thought of crumbs in the carpet. And that's why I'm making mention to bakeries tonight, that in our churches, that they're ovens, spiritual ovens in our Pentecostal churches, that in the Word of God, that God commands us that there to be bread in the house of God. Brother Kenny Moore several years ago made a statement that when a hamburger joint quits selling hamburgers, then it's no longer a hamburger joint. It doesn't matter, amen, what they advertise. It doesn't matter if McDonald's quit selling Happy Meals today, praise God. I don't know what our children would do, but if they quit selling Happy Meals and hamburgers, it's not a hamburger joint anymore. And it's just another place that you can go get some junk food, but it's not a hamburger joint. And if a church quits doing what a church is supposed to be doing, then it ain't a church. It doesn't matter what color we paint it. Doesn't matter what we call it. Amen. Doesn't matter how pretty we make it or how much it shines. It's not a church. If a church quits birthing souls into the kingdom of God, if people are not being saved in our Pentecostal churches, if folks are not being delivered and set free from the yoke of sin and bondage, if Christ isn't being lifted up and exalted, because He said, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto Me. If Christ isn't being lifted up, if men are not being changed by the Spirit and power of God, we can call it what we want to, We can put any kind of sign out by the road. Amen. But we're not a true Pentecostal church. Amen. And I want to be a part of a true Pentecostal church. I want to be a part of that, amen, that Christ is coming back for. I want to be a part of that that was birthed in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Amen, when the Holy Ghost came and the wind blew and cloven tongues of fire rested upon men and women and they were changed by the Spirit and power of God. That's what I want to be a part of today. But we can see in our text that we read here tonight, amen, that Moab and his wife and his two sons, amen, Naomi, they went to Moab. The Bible tells us, amen, here that they left Moab. They left Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jerusalem, amen, because there was a famine in the land. Because there was no bread in the land anymore in Bethlehem, Judea. The Bible tells us, amen, that they arose and they went to Moab because of the famine. There was no bread in Bethlehem. Amen. They went there searching for bread. The word Bethlehem in the Bible in the Hebrew simply means the house of bread. That's what Bethlehem means. And so Naomi and her husbands and their sons, they left home. They packed up everything they owned and they moved to Moab because there was a famine in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, the house of bread. Amen. Ought not to be. Amen. In the house of bread, there should never be a famine of bread. There should never be a shortage of bread in the house of bread, in the house of God. The reason they left the house of bread is because there was no bread in the house. And that is simply why people leave our churches today. That's why they leave our Pentecostal churches. We put different titles and we put different reasons upon why, amen, that people leave our churches. But it's simply because they come to be fed bread and there's no bread in our church. They come to eat of the bread of life that we advertise. Amen. We advertise on our signs that we're Pentecostal. I've seen some Pentecostal churches advertise that they are the real Pentecostal church. Amen. That they have more than the others. They have the real bread. But yet, when you drive by their parking lots on church service, there's only a few cars in the parking lot. Amen. We advertise revival. When we have revivals, we send out flyers. We send out bulletins. We put it on the radio. We advertise. But when they come to the house of God seeking, amen, the bread of life, they find no bread. They find the drama team, the praise teams. They find the sensationalism and the emotionalism, but they don't find the bread. And it's the bread that they're looking for. Bread in the Bible was part of temple practices as well as it was proof of the presence of God. In the Old Testament, that bread was in the holy place as the showbread. It was called the bread of His presence. There in that tabernacle, amen, and that priest would have 12 loaves of bread placed upon that table every day. There would be fresh bread upon that table. Amen. Each loaf of bread was symbolic, amen, of every one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen. And not only that, but it was symbolic of Jesus Christ. It was symbolic, amen, of Christ, that He being the bread of life. But yet there were 12 loaves symbolizing that there was one for every tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel, indicating that there was enough bread for everyone. Not just a few, not just a select few, amen, not just for the priest, amen, but there was enough bread there for everyone. Amen. The commentator here, amen, wrote down, and I wrote it and copied it, says, reference has been made to the fact that the bread is a type of the Word of God, that is Christ, the written Word. But He is also seen as Christ, the living Word. The loaves were to be made of fine flour, nothing coarse or inferior would ever suffice in those things which pointed to the perfect one. The flour, a product of the earth, had not only to be ground in the mill, but sieved, tested, and proven to be fine flour before it could be used for showbread or presence bread or the bread of faces, as it is sometimes called. This is a picture of the living word. He not only passed through the mill of suffering, but he was tested and proven as fine and perfect in character. Here is the verdict. Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man." Pilate's wife said, "Have nothing to do with that just man." Judas said, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." The malefactor said, "This man hath done nothing amiss." The centurion said, "Certainly this was a righteous man." God said, "My beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." He was indeed holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Amen. He was the bread of life. Jesus himself even said in John's gospel, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger." Amen. Jesus, amen, letting us know himself, amen, that he was the bread of life. Amen. John, amen, chapter 1 tells us, amen, talks about that word of God. He tells us about Christ. Christ letting us know that he is the bread of life. Amen. And the word Bethlehem means the house of bread. Amen. We, amen, today are the church. We are the true, amen, church of the living God. We've been bought, amen, by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been placed, amen, in the place that we are in through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We have become a part of the body of Jesus Christ. This is the place, amen, that men and women come, amen, to find that bread of life. This is the place where people come that are bound by sin and the things of this world, that they come looking, amen, for that bread of life, that they come looking for something that will satisfy that emptiness that is inside of them. Amen. Naomi and her family have something in common with a lot of people who leave or totally avoid our churches today. And it's that they left in that place and went somewhere else to try and find bread. That's why they're flocking to the bars and the nightclubs. That's why Psychic Night Network receives calls by the millions. That's why people are strung out on drugs. And that's why they're out there in the world and not in our churches. It's because they are looking, amen, for something, amen, to satisfy that longing that they have inside. They come to our churches. We've advertised, amen, that Christ is here. And when they come, they find no bread. They find empty shells. Amen. They find empty cold ovens. Amen. But yet there is no bread. And bread is the only thing that's going to satisfy the longing of their soul. Amen. It's the same thing that satisfied, amen, the longing in your soul. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And when they come to the house of God, they must find Christ among us. Hallelujah. Crumbs in the carpet. Amen. They're just trying to get by. Folks are just trying to survive because the church has failed them. I'm not talking about Bible Way. I'm talking about the church as a whole tonight. Amen. But let this church, let Bible Way, amen, not be just another church by the side of the road. Let this church be a Bethlehem. Let it be a house of bread.
amen, that they can come to and find that bread of life. Amen. Let not us be another church that we falsely have advertised and hyped up claims that there's bread in our house. But when they come, all they can do is scrounge through the carpet for a few crumbs of yesteryear's revivals. All they find will be empty shelves full of recipes for bread. But the oven is cold and the oven is empty and there is no bread. They come hungry and empty, and they leave hungry and empty. Let this not be just another church by the side of the road. Amen. We constantly read about the revivals of yesterday. I love to enjoy reading the books of the revivals of yesterday. I enjoy reading about the moves of God yesterday. Amen. I love to sit around the old timers. Amen. As they talk and reminisce about the power of God in the old days. Amen. I remember listening to an older gentleman one day over in Fredonia, Alabama, as he sat around the table and was talking. I was listening to what he was saying. He was talking about how that the church used to have better church in the cornfield than we do in our nominal churches today. Said that they would be working out in the cornfields, neighbors would be helping neighbors. And he said, over here in this row, he said you couldn't see anybody because of the thickness and the height of the corn. But he said, over here on this row, you could hear somebody singing Amazing Grace. He said, maybe a few rows over and down, you'd hear somebody else singing about the old rugged cross or the power of the blood. You'd hear down this aisle, this row, here you'd hear somebody praying. Amen. Calling on the Lord for their lost children, their lost sons and daughters. He said, and over here you'd hear somebody else kick in and begin to sing with this other one. He said after a while folks would begin to worship the Lord out in that cornfield. And all of a sudden, he said, you'd hear the shucks of the corn shaking in the fields, and the power of God would fall in that cornfield, and they would begin to worship God, and God would save and sanctify folks and baptize them with the Holy Ghost in the middle of a cornfield. Amen. But can I tell you tonight that our God is not a grandfather. He's not old or gray. He's not in a nursing home or a wheelchair. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. He never changes. Amen. And God expects, amen, the church to be a house of bread. Amen. That we, amen, are the ones, amen, that advertise to the world, there's bread at Bible Way. Hallelujah tonight. Amen. It's fresh every day. God answers by fire. His glory still fills the temple. Amen. Today we need the presence of God to be so real here at Bible Way that after they come and they leave, amen, all they can say is, I once was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. When they leave Bible Way Assembly of God, they ought to be able to say, hey, amen, there's bread over there at that place. Amen, they're not just advertising. They're not just saying. They don't have worship teams and praise leaders and power teams breaking concrete and boards, but they've got bread in the house. I went bound by drugs, but I've been saved. Free. I went hooked on pornography, but now I'm free. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. There's bread at Bible Way Assembly of God. Amen. They must find bread when they come to the house of God. Amen. They must find that they're looking for. We need the presence of God to be so real. And our Pentecostal churches, it needs to be so real here at Bible Way. Amen. That it's not just another church by the side of the road. Amen. But when they come to our church, amen, they'll never get full on crumbs. They'll never get full, amen, with us sitting around talking about how that it used to be. They'll never get full, amen, with us reading Sunday school lessons about how that it used to be. Amen, they'll never get delivered by us telling them that God can. But yet when they come, they find no bread. All they find are crumbs on the carpet. Evidence that at one time there was bread in the house of God. Evidence at one time, amen, the ovens did produce bread. Evidence at one time there was a revival. Evidence at one time there was God moving through the house. But they come to our churches and they come looking. Amen, they're bound by alcohol. They're bound by drugs. Amen, they've been to Moab. And Moab is a cruel place. Moab will kill them. But they come to the house of bread looking for life. Naomi and her family goes to Moab for 10 years. Just a short 10 years. They're in Moab. Moab's a cruel place. Moab's a hard place. They left Bethlehem where there was supposed to be bread. But because there was no bread, they heard there was bread in Moab. So they leave to go to Moab because they're hungry. They're hungry. They're thirsty. They go because they heard there was bread in Moab. Our children, they go out into the world because the lights are drawing them. The world is telling them there's bread in Moab. Amen. They're pulling at them. Amen. The signs, the advertisements, the commercials, peer pressure is all pulling at them. Amen. They come to our churches and they sit upon our pews, but yet there's no bread. Amen. For them to feed off of. We tell them they need to be in the house of God and they should be, but when they come, there's no bread for them to feed off of. And the world's telling them, we got bread. We've got bread, and we're losing our young people. We're losing our family members. Amen. Crack cocaine is pulling at them. Pornography, sex, drugs, alcohol. The world is pulling them. Telling them, we've got bread, we've got bread, we've got bread. Amen. They come to our churches. They sit upon our Pentecostal pews, and yet there's no bread. Our family members come. We beg them. We plead with them. We get them to come to the house of God. They come. And this is what they're doing spiritually. They're crawling around on the floor. They're hungry. They're hungry for the bread of life. We've told them He was here. We've told them they need to be saved. They need to be in the house of God. Drugs has gripped their soul. They want to be delivered. They want to be set free. And they come to our church and they crawl around on the carpet picking up crumbs of yesterday's revival, yesterday's move of God, yesterday's touch. And all there is are stale crumbs on the carpet, and they leave with a handful of crumbs when they could have left with an armload of bread. They could have got enough to carry home. They could have got enough to share with somebody. But all they find are stale crumbs in the carpet. Your children. Your children. Your loved ones. They come to Bible Way. You tell them God's moving at Bible Way. You come. They come. And we sit on the pew. We don't worship. We don't praise. We don't magnify God. We tell them there's bread. They're down scrounging for bread, and all they can find are stale crumbs of what we had last week, what we had last month. But we're a Pentecostal church. Holy rollers, shouters, praisers and magnifiers and lifter up of our hands in praise and worship. Known to be prayer warriors. When I was growing up,
An hour before church, we'd come to church, and when we pulled up in the parking lot, we could hear them on the inside weeping and crying and travailing before God. But there was always bread. There was always bread. In the book of Leviticus, God commanded them that there would be bread always in the house of God. There would always be fresh bread on that show table. There would be 12 loaves on that table, representing that there was enough for everyone, for every tribe of Israel, for every son, every daughter, every grandchild. Amen. Every dad, every mom, every aunt, every uncle, every grandma, every granddad, every niece, every nephew. Whoever came, there'd be enough bread that when they come, they could leave. When Jesus broke the bread of the little lad, and he blessed the bread, and he broke the bread. Amen. There they left with 12 basketfuls. Why? Amen. Symbolic of not only did he feed the multitude, but there was enough left over for every one of them to take with them. Hold your baby. She's all bundled up. A papoose. I looked around. I didn't see no more babies. I know he ain't gonna let me hold him. Ain't she pretty? If somebody came in and tried to hurt this baby, what would you do? Brother, if somebody come in and tried to hurt this baby, what would you do? You'd stop them, whatever it took. What if they come in to hurt this baby? Maybe your girl. What would you do? Whatever had to be done. Sis? What if they come in trying to take this baby? What would you do? They'd have a fight. Daddy? Somebody comes in and grabs this baby, what you gonna do? Probably kill him. That's probably what I'd try and do. But what are you going to do, Daddy, when she comes tugging on your pants leg, telling you she's hungry? You're going to feed her. You're going to bring her to church. You're going to teach her about Jesus. But when she gets here, you're going to let her crawl around on this old nasty carpet and eat old stale crumbs? Or is there going to be bread? Who's going to make that bread, Daddy? What about your children? Ma'am, what about that little boy? He pulls on your skirt tail and says, Mama, I'm hungry. You brought him to the house of God. Mama, I'm hungry. Is he going to have to crawl around on the floor and eat stale crumbs off of a nasty floor of something that happened yesterday or last week or last month? Or will there be bread in the house? Who's going to make the bread, Brother Donnie? Is the preacher going to make the bread? Is the deacon Lord going to make the bread? No, ma'am, no, sir. We're going to make the bread. Amen. Those ovens are the altar. We're going to spend time in them altars praying, seeking the face of God. That when these children, amen, say, I'm hungry, there's bread. When they come through the door of the church and they look, there's bread everywhere. It's on the shelves. It's full. When they drive by the road, they'll say, I smell bread. And they'll turn and come to the house of God. Revivals. I'm preaching on crumbs in the carpet. I'm preaching about our Pentecostal churches tonight. Amen, that our children, your children, my children, amen, our family members, our brothers and our sisters, they come, the world, they're in Moab. Moab's got a hold on them. And when they come to the house of God, they're having to scrounge around for the dirty floor for crumbs of yesterday's revivals. But we ought to have bread in the house of God. It ought to be on every shelf. It ought to be across the altar. It ought to be laying on the pews. Amen. We ought to be baking bread on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. When they drive by, they'll smell the bread and they'll turn around and come back and say, I don't know why, but something drew me here. And when they come, they find Christ.
It's a bread place I've used this many times. In Mobile, Alabama on 65, there's a bread, there's a bakery out on 65. And I was pastoring in McIntosh the first time I rode by there. I said, Lord, what is that smell?